short-term rentals or dwelling units, creating new provisions. And Mr. Belmont, would you walk us through the process today and then next steps you're proposing after today?
I will. We decided to bring this back again because Commissioner Hunt was unable to be at last week's meeting.
Thank you for that.
And so we can have further discussion and consideration. I wanted to talk, there were a couple questions that came up that about the what we're calling the grandfathering provision in here that's in section, make sure if you want to look at the specific language here, it is in the right page here. I didn't bring my, oh, here's the one. There it is. Section 6 of 4.440 proposed language here. And so there was some discussion about clarification of what the parking requirements are. And I noted that the parking requirements are that the property, in order to be grandfathered, has to meet the off-street parking requirements that are in the code and has to provide lawful parking. Those particular parking requirements, just to bring your attention to it, are found in the Lincoln County Zoning Ordinance. There is a definition for parking, which by the code, it talks about the size of the parking space and maneuverability and access that has to be required in order to qualify for off-street parking. And then there are specific requirements for when and where and how off-street parking is provided for dwellings in section 1.1415. So we would actually be looking at, for those that wanted to be grandfathered, they'd have to come in and we'd look at a plan of their property and make sure that they qualified for the parking in order to exceed that maximum occupancy. So there was some question as to how that was going to be applied. It's fairly straightforward from the county code.
And in this case, it would be the enforcement officer reviewing
an application and determining whether or not they could be grandfathered in. There was also a question of whether or not other jurisdictions are grandfathered. I actually went back and looked at the city of Newport. They did provide, and very similar to what we did, they had a very limited period of time in which they grandfathered in applicants when their business licensing program first went into effect that excluded them from these parking requirements and allowed them to go. Now, interestingly enough, they didn't have any maximum occupancy at that point. It was just whatever you had at that time you were able to get was what they did for the city of Newport. But it was a short window, and if you didn't do that, or if you let it lapse, that your business license, then you no longer were grandfathered and had to meet their requirements. And as I noted, their requirements are actually a little bit less maximum occupancy than we have. Parking requirements are very similar.
Okay.
So, unless there's any other questions on that portion of it, I think we'll turn it to discussion.
Yeah, I do have one question, and I don't know that it's been addressed in here yet, or maybe I missed it, that if we do choose to allow the limited grandfathering for people who will not qualify or will qualify at a level reduced from their occupancy, current occupancy, say somebody has to go from 25 to 20, just hypothetically. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard the request that some of these places are booked out a year in advance. Are we going to give any grace period within that, within the time after the ordinance takes effect, for them to honor those existing bookings and then have the cap kick in?
And currently we don't have a provision to do that. If that's something you want to add, I'll need to add that into it. But we have an effective date, and then once the licensee goes into a place, you'd have to adhere to the requirements.
So that's one thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the current effective date that we're proposing is December 1st.
Right. So. Right. So then what would be the timeline? You want us to essentially reach kind of final agreement on all these points today and then for first and second reading?
Well, it's up to you. If you're prepared to move forward with this, what we would do is schedule this for a first reading of the final ordinance next week and then come back on August, help me, Tanya, what was it? August 3rd for the second and final reading.
So I have a question to clarify. Under the existing, well, first of all, I'm not in favor of grandfathering, but if that's what the board agrees to, if the license expires, would that property owner be able to get a license and still have the grandfather clause?
No. If they let it expire, then they have to come back and meet the requirements.
Meet the requirements as if it was a new property?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, again, I continue to favor the limitation. I think, you look at what's the greater good. Families have been established. The neighborhood has been established. We're not putting any business out of business. We're asking a business to modify the way they do business. There are numerous examples where business has been asked to modify the way they do business. Ralph Nader wrote a book and changed the way the automobile industry does business. There are numerous environmental rules and regulations. Our office has to keep track of photocopier ink so that people aren't exposed to toxic materials, change the way we do business. As a banker, regulations constantly changed on the way banks did business. They weren't grandfathered in. So I see no reason not to have the maximum limitation of 16. It's certainly consistent with what's been done elsewhere throughout the state. I think it honors the neighborhoods, the people that were there first. We're not putting any business out of business. We're asking them to modify the way they do business. And I believe that that's the greater good that's served by looking at the limitation, actual limitation. And let's be honest, that's why the problem came before us, was because of the number of people. So I support the limitation of 16.
Well, this has been a difficult one for me. I really don't think there's anything magic about the number 16. You can have just as many problems with a group of 15 as you can with 20. And I struggled with this for a long time, but I really came down on the side of asking the question, why penalize the people who are operating properly because of the sins of some? And if these people do continue to operate outside the boundaries of the law, we've got all kinds of enforcement tools that we've never had before. The licensing provision, the complaint process, the requirement for timely response to complaints, and ultimately yanking the license if they don't get their act together. So to me, it represents a fair compromise between reflecting something that's been legally operating for many years and trying to address the issues of quality of life in the neighborhoods.
And for me, somewhat similar to Bill, these places were built legally. They were able to build the big homes because of the urbanization into a rural area that didn't really become urban. These were businesses that some of them have been very good, even though they have a large number. There have been very good participants in the community. It's not all of them. We've changed the rules so that we can enforce them now. So I don't believe in penalizing everyone for what a few do. And like I say, I've been in the fishing industry and been put out of business, I think, 7 times in my life of different fisheries by government over things that I didn't feel that I was the cause of it. And so that's my personal experience. So I'll support the grandfathering in.
So, Commissioners, the secondary question, I guess, that Commissioner Hall raised is, are you okay with the effective date of this, or do you want any kind of additional grace period, or what?
I'm okay with December 1st.
I think I'm okay with December 1st. Okay. The clearly defined date.
And just to finalize, is there any other parts of the ordinance you have any questions and concerns about, or can we take the draft we've got now with the...
Let's take a look. And the question was raised by one person last week, if somebody, if they could qualify for additional parking spaces under the terms of the code, whether they need some lead time, say, to reconfigure a backyard to provide those parking spaces. But if this takes, if we adopt this in August, that provides August, essentially a four-month window where they can bring the property
into compliance.
Into compliance.
I'd like to make one other comment on this. I think one of the things that makes it this so important is the part of the sheriff's office being in the enforcement, because it's not what the rule is, it's what the enforcement is that's critical here. And I believe we've got the right people to enforce it, or usually being enforced, that makes a much tougher standard happen on these businesses. And so we can write what we want, but it's still the enforcement part.
That's the key to making the whole thing work. I agree. You know, yesterday I had a meeting with the sheriff on several matters, and this is one of the things I discussed with him, and I said I really wanted to encourage very active and consistent enforcement of all of these provisions, he sat in on the last meeting, he sat in on some of the other meetings, and I think he got the message loud and clear what the what has led us to this point, and he said he will back that up totally. All right.
I think you've given me direction.
All right. Thank you.